wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. God is speaking to us personally. He's telling us to return to Him. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Micah 7:18. Mercy! Who is the remnant of his heritage? The saints. The elect. And he won't hold his anger toward his elect forever because he delights in mercy. Oh my. You want to keep pushing his long suffering? You want to keep taking advantage of his mercy? Then keep messing up. But God is telling us all right now, in whatever position we are in him or on the road in our spiritual lives and growth, repent and come back to me all the way. And who's receiving his mercy? The reprobates? Come on. Well, in small part they are, because they're still allowed to breathe, but, you know, God is speaking to his elect, his remnant. God's word was not made a Bible. God's word was made flesh. That's how much reconciliation is worth to God. His own Son, Jesus Christ, to be the only way to the Father. Forget the law and the temple and your study guides. Is that too easy or too simple when we're being called? Don't these words come to life after we've been filled with the Spirit and see their true meaning? It probably is too simple, but perish many do. Instead of loving the truth, the many are seeking a way that seems right to them. Proverbs 14:12. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. 2 Timothy 3:7. Seared consciences and strong delusion. I mean, it has been established that many go the way of destruction. We see the evidence of that today. We hear the evidence of that today. It has also been established that few will ever find life. And speaking of life, who was received on Pentecost? A Bible? Did the first century nameless multitudes of saints receive a Torah? Or a Bible, when their eyes were opened to the truth? Or did they receive the living Spirit of God, which opened their eyes and convicted them and taught them and spoke to them? Did the first century saints receive a pastor telling them that he was their ultimate authority? That they needed nothing more than his words to guide them into the kingdom? We better think about this. We better be careful what we're worshiping here, saints. And more importantly, who we're worshiping. Jesus told the Pharisees that they barred the way into heaven and neither went in themselves, Matthew 23:13. Jesus told the Pharisees that they stopped people from going in, entering in. The Spirit was calling them, sure, and leading them. And then they ran into the Pharisees, and the Pharisees stopped this, and they what? They diverted the attention away from the leading of the Holy Spirit, away from the kingdom that they were commanded to seek, and right to themselves. Right to the Pharisees. Did you receive the Holy Spirit because you read him into existence from a Bible? Man, answer that. Did you receive the Holy Spirit and the promise of life because you read it in a Bible? Or on a tract? Well, the Bible's great, the tracts are great, but where did your life come from? Didn't it come from the Holy Spirit? Hey, did you even care about the Bible until you were called? Who's getting the glory? The Bible was, well, the first printing was what, in the 1600s? 17th century? Well, what did believers do before then? Saints? Who did they have before then? Oh my gosh, they didn't have a Bible. Well, they must have had somebody else. Oh, for crying out loud. They had the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Did you receive the Holy Spirit through Zondervan? We can't prep ourselves to live or prep ourselves to die. And we're taking the job out of the hands of the Holy Spirit, and we're calling God a liar. The Spirit of God through Jesus Christ has been relegated to the trash heap. And the Holy Spirit has been relegated to a back seat. And that's royal blasphemy. Think about it. I've never told you to memorize scripture. That's not going to save your souls. Know your God. That's going to save your souls. Repent. That's going to save your souls. The first century saints didn't have any books. They didn't have any tapes or CDs or concordances or devotionals or spiritual pimps on the radio. They had the Holy Spirit of God. Simple. Simple. And if you rely on printed paper and you look up to it instead of coveting God's living spirit in you and God's living word in you, you're studying to show yourselves approved for God's wrath in hell. Go ahead, if you want, and chew on it. Period. End of digression. Moving on to the theme of return to me. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity will not be your ruin. Ezekiel 18:30. 20 centuries after Christ's gospel was first preached, we have been immersed in gross and fatal error in virtually all we have been taught by men and that which is taught today. The simple Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are not enough. Our foundations look like Swiss cheese. Our God is calling upon his true church to repent and come back to him, his rock and redeemer, and we haven't the slightest idea how to get there anymore. What, none of the formulas you paid for from the hucksters working for you right now? Well, they should if you're involved in Christian witchcraft. And you know, their spells always seem to work for them. Look, we don't know the way because we believe the lies of mere men. We let them teach us or not teach us. These men are clothed in their dark father's light. Men who claim to preach the gospel and they have wisdom and understanding, but they operate from seared consciences passed on to them by those of equally seared consciences. And there is no hope. By God's own word, confirmed and testified to in the scriptures, there is no hope for a revival of any kind to occur in this world. There's only hope of revival in the hearts, individual hearts, of minds, hearts and minds of his saints and those that he yet calls. And the need is great for a continual purging of the poisonous lies we have been fed throughout the millennia. And I believe that this is happening to God's true church in the wilderness. I firmly do. We are being refined beyond anything we can even understand as refinement in the beginning. We're going way beyond our own expectations, which is a good thing. Everything about us falls short, praise God. The rest of the deceived await nothing short of judgment now. We're stored up for fire, and it's begun to manifest itself. Therefore I will judge you, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 53:6. There's only hope for those who hear, quote unquote, and for those who by hearing God's Spirit, the Word, Jesus Christ, hold fast to the true faith that they've been given. I implore the saints to consider their own walk with Christ, to examine what they've built upon their foundation of Christ. Some of us stray off the way, yeah. Some of us want to believe in what we can see and touch and audibly hear. We're going to be disqualified if we persist in grasping for crutches instead of our gift of faith. We can trust none but God. And I plainly and gladly tell you often not to trust even me. And I mean it. I plainly tell you to get on your knees and beg for the truth from God. But you got to want to. That doesn't prove me right. Doesn't prove me wrong. You got to want to know the truth. He'll give it to you. Let God confirm or deny what this worm of a servant brings you. Let him do it. Your blood's going to be on your own hands, not mine. And I have a terrifying enough responsibility to give what God sends and to step aside and point to the cross and to the throne instead of myself. God is calling us, his saints, to return to him and give up the abominable practices that we've become comfortable with as a result of listening to the teachings of vain men and their Jezebel counterparts out there. The Holy Blessed Spirit is not on the shortwave or internet or TV or at your local whorehouse called a church. The Holy Spirit is outside the door to your heart, calling for you to let him in. Your personal tutor from the heart of God waits to teach you. And you're too busy flipping papers and studying to show yourself approved of your neighbors to even care that the real thing, life, is out there just beyond the door you locked. Don't be like the Pharisees. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee. Your ways and doings will judge you. That's what the they means in Ezekiel. That saith the Lord. Ezekiel 24:14. According to your ways and your doings, it's your ways and your doings and how you did them, they'll judge you. Now, the uncopyrighted Bible that I am privileged to own testifies to all that I've presented to you from the Word of God. I, myself, will never rely upon a physical device as a bringer of the knowledge of God, or for the salvation of my soul, or upon the fact that someone calls me brother or Christian. It's the Holy Spirit that will testify. Hey, at least I'm going to hold to the choice I made as to whom I will believe. It's my God first, my living God first, and I'm sticking with it. Who can make a decision and stick with it? Who can make a choice and stick with it? There's a lot of gutless people out there calling themselves Christian. Because it makes me sick to think about how much rejection, how much utter rejection of Christ there is out there. No, I'm going to rely on the living Spirit of the living God alone, as the Scriptures testify to, because that's what happened in my heart. It happened in my heart first, and I know it happened in a lot of your hearts first, before the words on paper started to testify as to what had happened to you. And you've got the horse in front of the cart, if that's where you're at now. In closing, the days grow darker in the hearts and minds of men and women. The clouds of judgment have gathered above the veil of evil and above the willingly deceived, and the leading bands of a hard rain have begun to fall upon the world and the rebellious camp of God. A famine of the word and the truth rages. The time is at hand. Repent. Give up all of your life, your reasonable service, and love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. Clenched fists around your faith. Lay hold and keep hold of it. Trust in him only, saints. Not this piece of clay or anything else. Endure hardness and suffering and depravity and rejection as Christ, who was the greatest heretic of all history, according to the world. It was Jesus Christ, because he told the truth. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Ezekiel 18:27. Do we have a choice? Do we have a choice to save our souls alive? Can we shipwreck our faith? Yeah. Are we robots? No. We have a choice, and we make it every moment we're alive, every step along the road. May you find life at the end of your journey, saints. And as Peter said, receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Receive the end of your faith. What is the end of your faith? Once you've striven and agonized and counted the cost, entered in, walked your walk, ran the race, what is at the end of your faith, saints? Yeah, life. Even the salvation of your souls. Oh, and when is that salvation? When are you saved? It is written, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. I pray that the way might have gotten a little narrower for some of you.
Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity.
What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north, it whirleth about continually. And the wind returneth again, according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that this also is vanity. But there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have shown myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. But there is a man whose labor is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein, shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity, and a great evil. What hath man of all his labor, and of the vexation of his heart? wherein he hath labored under the sun. For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, but there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other, yea. They have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor, and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice, and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches, kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. But man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them.
Wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity.
All is vanity. Is vanity.
I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that killed the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him.
You get your shields up. You keep to the road. I'll see you again if God is willing and the creeks don't rise.
He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
If you are led to help keep the broadcast on the air, you may send support to the ministry here. If you are sending a check or a money order, please write WWCR on the payee line and I will forward it to the station. The ministry address is The Narrow Way, P.O. Box 60, Friendsville, Pennsylvania, 18818, USA.
This has been brought to you by TheNarrowWay.net.